Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Hi, Ryan, and welcome to the Cognitive Recalibration Podcast. As always, I'm your host, Shravan. We've got Taran here with us.
Hello.
We're back with another episode, another big review, another action.
Another movie.
Another movie. Should we start describing movies again?
Yes, weekly section. I think we're slowly starting to get like parts of the podcast, like sections of the podcast. Do you know how people go through like, oh, this is the part where we discuss this?
Like segments.
Segments, yeah, different segments. But our segments are discussing movies, what movies are, and discussing if it's better than The Flash.
Yes, we'll get to that's a segment that's coming later. Yeah.
And also, have you seen the Kraven the Hunter trailer?
Yes, and what does he say? Do you know why?
Do you know why I'm the Rhino? No, do you know why they call me the Rhino? But have you actually seen the Kraven the Hunter trailer?
I still haven't seen it. Okay. Yeah. I don't like go, I actually don't watch trailers unless like, they're at the cinema. Like, I actually don't watch them on YouTube.
Man. What if it comes up as the ad on your YouTube trailer?
Sometimes
you watch a YouTube video.
Sometimes I watch it when it comes up as a actual ad. But yeah, I rarely actually go and watch trailers. It's not like, remember back in like the Marvel, like the peaks of MCU when like we'd wait for the trailer to come out and come out at a certain time and we'd watch it when it came out.
Mm.
Those days.
I watched the Wonka trailer like that though.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I haven't seen that.
Well, honestly, kind of looks good.
It's the same director.
It looks like Paddington. Yeah.
Well, it's the same director as Paddington. So yeah, I think it would be decent.
It's got Paddington vibes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Timothy Chalamet.
Yes. Yeah.
Yeah. Big year for him.
Big year. Dune 2.
And
Wonka.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tim Cham.
Oh, is that what they call him?
No, that's what I call him.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to start that.
Okay, cool.
Yeah.
Yep, let's start it right now.
Tim Cham
was meant to be in Barbie, actually.
As Ken?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
With Margot Robbie?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Seems a bit young.
How old is Tim Cham? I thought it was like 25 or something.
Yeah.
Margot Robbie's like 28, isn't she?
I think she's like 30.
Oh, is she? Okay. Yeah. She's a bit older. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. She looks older than him, but I don't know. He always looks really young.
He does. Yeah. He's like Tom Holland.
Yeah.
Forever young.
Yeah. Forever young. All right. But we're talking about someone
else's. None of those guys are in this movie we're talking about today. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Tom Cruise is forever young. So.
Yeah. Well, in a different way. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He's, it's like he's 60.
60 something?
61, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. He was
great for a 60.
He was doing an interview on Australian TV and it was his birthday on that day. And he said it was 61.
Mm. It looks great for 61.
Looks amazing. Yeah. Like he's like a couple of years older than our dad. So
And there's a difference there. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it looks better than most people in their like peak. So, yeah. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1. What a title. What do you reckon the next one's going to be called?
Fast X Part 2.
It's going to be the crossover.
Yeah. There was actually some crossovers in this.
There was. Fast X. We'll talk about that. Yeah. And they seem to come out in the same year because I remember Fast
9.
No, I think Hobbs and Shaw came out the same year as the last Mission Impossible.
Fallout.
Yeah, Fallout. Yeah. There seems to be some crossover there.
Mm.
But, yeah, this one's also directed by Christopher McQuarrie. This is his third Mission Impossible. I think his first one
was Rogue Nation. He did Fallout and then he did this.
And then he did this and he's doing the next one, which is Fast X Part 2.
Yep.
Obviously, Tom Cruise is back. I didn't realize the first Mission Impossible came out in like
1999, I think.
1996.
1996, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, it's old. Yeah.
Yeah. It's really old. Like, that's one of the longest running franchises with the same leading actor for the whole time period.
They took a break, a long break between some of them, between 3 and 4.
Yeah. I think 3 was in 2007 or 2006.
And 4 was in like 2013.
2011 maybe? Maybe 2013. Because 5 was in 2015.
Yep. And 6 was in 2019.
They tend to take maybe 4-year gaps, I guess, in between all of them. They're consistently pretty good in terms of standards. So Fallout was, I remember.
Put these in because your dog was going to bite them. I want to put them out now again.
Yeah. It's more stylish when they're out.
When they're out, yeah.
Are these new jeans, by the way?
No, I've had them for a while.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. We can do this kind of stuff on video now. Like on audio, it'd be just like, what are you talking about? I guess if you're still listening to us on audio, then it still doesn't make much sense. But he's got some nice jeans on. I need to get some new jeans. There's new people in this movie, apart from returning cast. So returning cast, you got Simon Pegg, you got Ving Rhames.
Rebecca Ferguson. Vanessa Kirby.
Yes, she was in the last one. Who also has a crossover with
Hobbs and Shaw.
Hobbs and Shaw.
Yep. Who else is? No, I think that's it. That's a recurring.
I think those are the returning casts. We've got new cast members. So we've got Hayley Atwell.
Yes.
Who plays a pretty prominent role in this one. We've got Pom Clementiff as well. We've got, and I'm not sure if, is this guy in one of the previous movies?
Is it Cary Elwes?
No. Well, he's the.
He's a guy in this. I don't know what he is, but he's in this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking about the main villain.
No. He's not in anything we've seen before.
Yeah. He's not in the previous Mission Impossible
movies,
right? But they allude to him as if he's.
There seems to be some backstory.
Yeah.
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 So he's played by Ezai Morales.
Mm.
So
There's like hints to a bigger backstory for him, which they don't really get into in this movie.
Yes, yes. I thought they were alluding to like maybe the first Mission Impossible or something, but
First Mission Impossible, John Voight is the bad guy.
Yes. He fakes his death or something?
Fakes his death. He's the original. What's that sound?
It's the washing machine.
Oh, okay.
Probably can't hear it. But, there's the washing
machine. Sound like a helicopter. Anyway, in the first
Tom
one.
Tom Cruise is joining us for the.
Yeah.
He's joining us via helicopter for this.
He's podcast. The original Mission Impossible guy.
Yes.
But then he. Do you know how it's based off the TV show?
TV show, yeah, yeah.
So he's the guy from the TV show.
I see.
But he turns evil.
He turns evil. And then there's a lot that happens in these movies because. I don't usually remember the actual story of these movies. I remember like
the action parts,
the action sequences. So like fourth one, the Burj Khalifa, fifth one, the plane where he holds onto the side of the plane when it takes off. Sixth one, the Halo jump. I don't know the ones before that. What happens in the third one?
Third one, he like smashes into a car. Do you know that it explodes and then he hits the car?
Oh, yeah. That's not as good.
The second one, he climbs that mountain.
Cliff, yeah. And the first
and
one.
And also the sword, the knife going close to his eye.
Yes.
Yeah.
And is that the one where he like chucks his glasses? And,
Yeah. And then the first one's the, yeah.
The first one's the iconic.
Although he does that in everyone except.
This one?
This one and the sixth one.
Yeah.
I don't think he does it in the sixth one either.
Doesn't Jeremy Renner do it in
the fourth one? Yeah.
I was actually going to – Jeremy Renner isn't in this one. He doesn't die or anything, does he?
No.
I can't remember, but I'm pretty
sure – Apparently in the sixth one, they were going to bring him back and kill him.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because he was in the fifth one. He was
got in the fourth one and then the fifth one?
Introduced in the fourth one and then he was in the fifth one.
Yeah.
There was also other people across the whole – all the movies that Alec Baldwin's dead.
Yeah.
There was, Paula Patton in the fourth one?
She's only in the fourth one.
Yeah.
Yeah, she's in none of the others.
Simon Pegg was in it from the third one. Yeah.
There's a chick from the first one. She's in a lot of them. She's in the sixth one as well. And she's in the fourth one. And
Michelle Monaghan?
Yeah, her. Yeah.
Yeah, she was his wife.
Yes.
Yeah, at one stage.
At one stage, yeah.
Yeah. She's in the third one as well, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, that's cast members. In terms of budget, it's $291 million, which is, again, a very big budgeted movie. Box office so far is $122 million. It's been out for about a week. Actually, like 3 days because we watched it at an advanced screening. So it hasn't been out for that long. Reviews are very good. I think it's like 98% on Rotten Tomatoes, so it's very high. So obviously the buzz is pretty good. Critically, it's doing well, and I think box office should do okay. It's not going to be another Flash. So is it better than The Flash?
Should we talk about it more before I give my verdict on if it's better than The Flash?
Yeah, I guess so. So we could jump into positives and negatives. So we won't
instead of saying if it's a cognitive recalibration from now on, I'm going to say it's better or worse than The Flash. Okay, Most movies are going to be better though. So it's going to be a very bad scale.
Yeah. So we'll do spoilers later. So if you haven't watched the movie yet, you can keep listening. We'll clearly indicate when we jump to spoilers. So we'll do non-spoilers for now. Positives and negatives. So what's a positive about this movie?
The action's pretty good.
Which is what you would say about most Mission Impossible. Yeah. I think it's not so much about the action in this one. Like, there's obviously action in it. But it's not all about the action. I think there's a bit more of an underlying story. There's a lot of scenes where there's a bit more conversation rather than action, but there is action as well. I wouldn't say it's as good as the action in – I remember the action being really good in the last one.
Fallout.
Yeah.
I don't think the Halo scene was that good in Fallout.
No, it wasn't as good.
Yeah.
Because not that
you don't really see that much
happens in it.
Yeah.
I still think the Burj Khalifa one's probably the best one.
Yeah. The part where he's outside the plane's pretty.
That's pretty good too.
Yeah.
But that's at the start of the movie.
It is.
That's the first scene in the movie. Yeah.
They probably ruined most of the action scenes in the trailers as well for this one.
Yeah. I mean, that was actually going to be one of my negatives where I think the marketing. Obviously, the big action sequence in this one is where he rides a motorbike off the cliff. Mm.
But you know it's coming because you've seen the trailer.
It's and they also release this like behind the scenes thing where they show you exactly how they did it.
Mm.
So the magic is kind of lost on it because when they show the way they did it and it's like a artificial ramp, obviously, and then in the movie it's CGI. And if they hadn't shown us that, I would have not probably notice the CGI, but I did notice it because I've seen the behind the scenes video. So it kind of took away from that scene a little bit, but it was still good. And the way like it comes in a pretty important time in the movie, so it's still well executed.
I thought the car chase scene was probably better.
In Rome?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That is there's two car chase scenes in Rome that we've seen this year.
Yes.
And this
is the second best.
Yeah.
It almost feels like that could have been happening simultaneously at the same time, because it's the
lots
same
of, like, common locations.
Yeah,
and,
it's
like,
the same places. Yeah. So it's
Colosseum. Yeah. Is it the Trevi Fountain? Is that where they're at? What are those stairs?
The
is
stairs,
that
the Trevi Fountain? Where the bomb stops in Fast X, right?
Yeah.
I haven't been to Rome, so.
Oh, you haven't been? Okay. Yeah, maybe so I should be the expert on this. Yeah. I have been there. It could be the Trevi Fountain or it could not be.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, they both have like an action sequence around similar locations.
I think the difference between this and like Fast X is like the cars are invincible in Fast X and the people are invincible.
It's a little bit this more one, believable. In
they're
this.
Still invincible, but it's a little bit more believable.
Yes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And like people actually get hurt.
That's right. Yeah, there's a sense of, like, you're not going to live forever in this. Whereas in Vin Diesel's never going to die.
No. And Vin Diesel just, like, somehow knows everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he's, just amazing. But in this, like, Tom Cruise does make mistakes and, like...
That's right.
He's just going with the flow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought the cast was really good, like, both returning and new, especially... Hayley Atwell, she was particularly good actually in this because she has it's probably the second main character after Tom Cruise in this movie.
Yeah,
and she does a really good job in an interesting character as well. Pom Klementiff was interesting. She was more like a henchman type character.
Yep.
Apparently she was channeling a. I have to get this right. I think it's a shoebill. Have you seen those birds? Like, they look like dinosaurs. I'll put a picture on the video.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
I'll quickly get one up. But it's basically like just this, like, really ferocious-looking bird.
Okay, that,
like,
fair enough.
Glares at you. And she was kind of like – she also had, like, Joker vibes for some reason, like –
Oh, yeah. Like when she was doing the car chase and stuff.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, this is a shoebill.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I've never seen one of those before.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, I'll put a picture on the video as well. But, yeah, it's she was saying in one of the interviews that she was modeling her character around this bird and the way it, the way it acts. But, yeah, she has, like... towards the end of the movie, she had...
It's a spoiler. You're going into a spoiler.
Not a spoiler. I'm just saying her character was more important than I thought it would be.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought the villain was good as well.
I thought the villain was a bit undercooked. Well, there's two villains.
There's a... Yeah. There's I mean, we can talk about the story. But...
yeah.
Yeah, like the story is... it's actually quite topical that... I don't know if they planned this because this movie's been in production for like 4 years, but it seems to have come out just when everyone's talking about AI and the villain or the main sort of antagonist in this is an AI. Mm. So it kind of it's kind of a good time for it to come out, especially because the film industry is like striking as well, and it's some of that strike is AI related too. Did you hear the actors are now striking too?
Yeah, yep.
So the last time this happened, well, the last time there was a writer strike, we got a whole bunch of like really
bad movies.
Not very good movies.
Yeah.
So we'll have to see what happens this time.
I think there's not going to be many movies next year because nothing much is being made.
I think everything's going to get delayed because anything that's currently being shot has to stop.
Pretty much nothing's being shot anymore. There was some stuff that was being shot without writers, but now without actors, nothing can be shot.
I think Deadpool 3 was shooting.
It was.
Because it was, they already had the script, but they have to stop that now.
Yeah. So unless it's already been shot, it's probably not going to come out next year.
Yeah. And they can't do any promotion either. So any movies that are coming out,
the Oppenheimer cast left the red carpet halfway through. Yeah.
I guess for them, they kind of did some.
They did some, They look like they pushed it really hard
towards
for like 2 days, and just like did as much as they can. Like RDJ was like doing like TikToks and stuff. I'm like, why is RDJ doing TikToks?
Yeah,
but I guess they did everything they possibly could, and now they can't do anything.
I don't know if TikTok has the audience that they want for Oppenheimer. Anyway, I mean, yeah. they might attract them, but I don't know.
I think Barbie's getting more. A bigger opening than Oppenheimer.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. Anything's possible. It's really picked up this like Oppenheimer versus Barbie thing. So we're going to be watching both. This is for next week anyway, but we're going to be watching both on the same day. We still have that bet going on, so we'll see what happens. Back to Mission Impossible.
AI.
Yeah, AI.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought the AI villain was interesting, I guess, but it's not someone Tom Cruise can punch. Which makes it, I guess I can make it more interesting that it's just not somebody you can just beat. Yeah.
And I guess this will separate the other movies because, like, fourth one, like I said, I remember them mostly for the action sequences. Mm. I might actually remember this one for the story because I'm like, oh, there's this AI thing that's happening and they're trying to stop it from.
In the end, the story is pretty much the same as every other Mission Impossible
except
story.
Except there's no human.
There's no human
on
villain.
The other end. Yeah.
Yeah. There is. There is one guy.
Yeah. But he also doesn't
have much to do. Yeah.
He also doesn't know what's really going on. Like he's kind of just there.
And you don't learn. You learn very little about him.
Yeah.
Like, they could flesh it out in the next movie a bit more, but in the end, he's just another guy in this movie. Yeah.
Yeah.
He's, I would say, similar to the villain in Ghost Protocol, which is one of the worst villains. He's just some guy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can't even remember him.
He's just a guy. There's nothing special about him. He's just a guy that wants to, like, blow up the world.
Has some bombs and. Yeah. So I'll probably remember this one a bit more just because of that story, the plot point. Like what happened in the sixth one? Like, I can't remember what the story was. I just remember Henry Cavill.
Fallout?
Yeah.
It's the same thing. They water nuclear bombs or something.
Yeah, and then to stop it.
Yeah.
I just remember, Henry Cavill and Halo Jump and that's it.
Yeah.
Still a good movie. I remember all of them it's being good yeah. but yeah.
I don't think the story is as important in these movies.
No, it's all about
it's kind of like Fast and Furious in that way. Like, the story doesn't really matter. It's the same in every movie.
Yeah, and there are parallels how, like, people that are dead have come back and stuff as well. Because I think his wife was supposedly dead, but she...
I think that's the only one that's been dead and come back.
Yeah.
I don't think there's been anyone else that's dead and come back. I guess Tom Cruise, did he die in any of them? Oh, he did. He dies in the sixth one, doesn't he? And they have to resuscitate him?
I think so.
Yeah.
At the end, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's either the fifth one or the sixth one. He, like, dies and then they bring him back to life.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of them that happens. But, yeah, there are parallels between both franchises.
Yeah.
I don't really have any negatives apart from them just giving away that action sequence.
Yeah. The story is... If you want a big story, you're not going to get it. It's it's the same as any other Mission Impossible. Although the AI is interesting.
Yeah.
It's different.
And there's stuff that happens in this movie where they're like, well, this is going to happen and, like, someone has to meet at this place and this something is going to happen. And I'm like, they could easily just not go there.
Yeah.
But they go there and then what is predicted happens. I'm like, they could have just stopped this from happening, but for some reason they just kind of went along with it. Like, people do stuff that they're probably not, like, they easily could have not done, but they do it anyway. We'll talk about it in spoilers. Okay. It's a bit vague.
I'll talk about the
particular plot point where, like, this stuff happens and I'm like, you didn't have to do this, but it happens anyway.
I don't think I liked it as much as the sixth one.
I thought you were going to say I didn't think I liked it as much as the Flash.
No, I like it. I like it a lot more than the Flash. First off, the CGI is just 100 times better than the Flash, just off the bat. I don't think I like it as much as the sixth one, but I think it's still pretty good. I like it more than the fifth one. I don't like the fifth one that much.
Yeah, first one was okay.
Yeah.
I think it's a pretty good movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think sixth one is...
Parts of the fourth one are better.
Yeah, parts of the fourth one are better.
Maybe, like, the first half of the fourth one's better.
Yeah. Do you like long hair Tom Cruise or, like...
Long hair Tom Cruise, yeah.
So fourth, Ghost Protocol Tom Cruise. Yeah.
This one's more of like a smart look. It's not.
He's really been doing the same look for since five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So they did say that they might do, even though this is part one and two, they might do more after this as well. So this is not going to be like the end. Oh, the other thing I didn't mention is, so this is like 2023 is the year of cliffhangers.
Part one, part two. So yeah. This is three. So
Fast X, Spider-Verse. This is the best one.
At least the Spider-Verse has a good cliffhanger as well.
Like in terms of
Fast X is definitely the worst one.
Yeah, like, so that just ends.
Yep.
I think even Spider-Verse, it feels like there's still some like loose ends. This is not like a cliffhanger. Like no, there is an end.
Like they've finished the mission, but there's more mission afterwards. Yeah.
Like there's a conclusion. Like the movie ends and you feel satisfied.
Yeah.
Whereas the other two, I feel like there's still so much more.
Fast X literally ended in the middle of an action sequence. Yeah. So that is by far the worst.
And even Spider-Verse, like you know that there's so much more in the next movies. Whereas this, it feels like it is a movie within itself and it ends. There's more stuff to come, but it ends within this movie. So there's an arc in the movie itself. So I thought this was – it's probably not – I don't know if we can even call it a cliffhanger because there's stuff that's going to come up.
Yeah.
But it's not like – yeah. I think it's more like a – because it's closer to maybe Infinity War in terms of – except that was more of a shocking cliffhanger, whereas this is more of a satisfying cliffhanger.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah. It's good.
Yeah, I like the name as well. I think it's top 10 name.
Even though
there's been only 7 movies. So it easily fits into the top 10.
Well, the first three are just called MI1, 2, 3.
And then Ghost Protocol, decent.
Pretty good.
Rogue Nation, that's good. Really like that. Fallout, okay, not great. Yeah. Dead Reckoning, whew.
Part one,
yeah.
The part one is what makes it.
I think Dead Reckoning part one and then Rogue Nation.
Really? I like Ghost Protocol.
Ghost Protocol is also good. That's three. Fallout's last.
Okay.
Well, other than the other three, what are just Mission Impossible 1, 2, 3?
Yeah. So you reckon it's the best one?
I think so, yeah.
Cool. I guess we can jump into spoilers. So I'll give it a cognitive recalibration.
And I think it's better than The Flash.
Yeah. There's no surprises there. So, cool. All right. Well, this is the point. If you haven't watched Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, definitely go watch it. Worth it. And come back to this point and listen to our spoilers. Spoilers.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer.
Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Yeah, did you want to talk about what you were trying to explain
before?
Yeah,
so towards the middle of this movie, they're in Venice.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they attend this party and, like, everyone's there and the AI is also there.
Yeah.
And then they're like, oh, you have to choose between, what's her name? Ferguson?
Rebecca Ferguson.
Rebecca Ferguson and yep. Hayley Atwell.
Yep.
One of them's going to die.
Yep.
And they're going to meet the villain at this bridge and then he's going to kill one of them.
Yeah.
Like, just don't go to the bridge.
So I think Hayley Atwell accidentally went to the bridge. So she was running away and she ends up at the bridge.
Yeah.
And then that guy's going to kill Hayley Atwell.
Yeah.
Unless Rebecca Ferguson comes.
Yeah.
So Rebecca Ferguson goes to save Hayley Atwell.
Yeah, and then she dies.
Yeah. So Hayley Atwell didn't go to the bridge.
She just ran.
Ended up there. Yeah.
I see.
Because the AI.
But she also could have just not ran.
Yeah. Tom Cruise runs was a lot in this movie.
Yeah.
She continuously keeps running for most of this movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because she already ran away from him, like, I think a couple of times.
Two, three times. Yeah.
Before that.
Yeah.
And then I'm like, I think she would actually listen to him this time, but she still hasn't listened to him.
Nah. Yeah. I think that's just a character flaw in her. Eventually, she stops running, but yeah.
Yeah.
That's the last time, I guess, because, after that, she stops running.
Yeah.
Because she probably would have died.
We can talk about all the action sequences. So the movie starts with, like, a submarine sequence, which we missed, actually, some of
it. We missed this, like, maybe I think it was, like, a
couple
minute.
Of minutes. Yeah.
Yeah, it wasn't long. Yeah.
But in terms of the action sequences after Ethan Hunt is introduced, so there's the one in Rome.
The car chase, yeah.
There's the airport one. It's not really an action sequence, more of like a...
Just a running montage?
Yeah, that's right. He runs a bit in this. There's a bit more running in this. They showed that, like, there's a correlation between the
how
time...
How much he runs and how good the movie is.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah.
And all, I think it's like how much the movie makes or something. But
yeah. So they had to show some running.
Yeah. So I thought the airport sequences, it was more suspense than action, but that was good. And then after that, that's when they go to Rome. And then after that, they go to Venice. And there's a bit more running there as well.
Running again. Yep.
And then there's the train sequence.
Yes.
Well, there's the cliff sequence and then there's a train sequence.
Yeah.
Is that all? Is there something I missed? I think that's all of them.
That's everything, yeah.
Yeah. Out of all of them, which is the best one?
It's either the train or the car. I like the end part of the train.
Where the carriages are falling.
Yeah. But I also like the car part a lot. Apparently, he was actually handcuffed in that.
To Hayley Atwell.
Yeah.
Okay.
And he was driving.
I did like the car sequence.
Yeah.
I also like the airport one just because there was, like, you're trying to figure out what's happening and you get introduced to Hayley Atwell in that sequence as well.
And Simon Pegg's doing Simon Pegg's
doing stuff and Ving Rhames is doing stuff.
It's a bit comedic as well. There's two cops in this movie as well.
Oh, yeah, we didn't mention them.
I don't think they're cops. Are they FBI? They're something.
Yeah, CIA or something. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're like a bit of comedic. I don't know if they were serious, but they were also funny at the same time.
Yeah, they're just like one step behind Ethan Hunt at all times.
And they're not like, they're not going to kill him. And he's not going to kill them or anything. Like, they kind of, like, just want to...
Mutual respect, but, like, they want to capture him.
They want to capture him, but he doesn't want to hurt them.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I guess that's what makes these movies different because, like, they've got these characters. Like, you could easily just not have them in this movie, but they just have that extra layer and it kind of adds to the movie rather than like detracts from it. Usually when you have these characters that are not related to the central plot, they feel like they don't need to be there. But I feel like these guys added a bit.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then you've got the human villain.
And, yeah.
Yeah.
So he seems to have killed someone.
In the past.
In the past that Ethan knew.
Yeah. And it's not his.
And they go through kind of how MI kind of recruits people in this. So they're all basically ex-criminals that they recruit.
So was Ethan a criminal?
It looks like it. Yeah.
Yeah.
Because at the start of MI1, he's already part of MI.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you don't know his backstory.
Well, everyone that we've seen so far
has been part of it. Yeah.
Part of it. Yeah.
So this is the first one where they recruit Hayley Atwell, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
She's
just like a pickpocket. Like a really good pickpocket. A
high-end thief, I guess.
Yeah.
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 But yeah, it's interesting. They like get a choice, I guess, to either go to jail or use their skills to do impossible missions.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that was good.
Yeah.
And they get the guy back from the first movie. He's not the head of MI, right?
Which guy?
The guy that recruits her at the end.
Oh, is he in the first movie?
He's in the first movie.
Yeah. Oh, that guy.
He's in the very first movie.
Yeah. He's kind of like a shady character. Like you don't know what he's really about, but
yeah.
I think the interesting part of this movie is that he has to go rogue because if he gives the key to his superiors, then they're just going to use it to control the AI and destroy everyone. So he wants to destroy the AI and everyone else wants to control the AI essentially. And he's the only person that wants to destroy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's why he gets Ethan to look into it, right? Well, Ethan wants to destroy it.
Ethan's the only... No, so that guy just wants the key so he can control it. But Ethan's the only one that wants to destroy it.
Yeah. And that's what the cops... Or, like, one of the cops tries to figure out what Ethan's actually doing.
Yeah, if he wants to destroy it or, like, use it for himself. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. We haven't talked about the light diffuse sequence either.
Oh yeah, he doesn't light a fuse.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think the last time he actually lit a fuse was in
four.
Yeah. Yeah. It was good though in this one because there's a sequence where he uses a mask as well.
Yep. I told you the mask
returning. Yeah. They use it
a couple times.
Couple of times in this. Yeah. 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 It was good. I'm trying to remember. So fourth one he's escaping prison or something and he lights a fuse, right?
Yes. Yeah. He's escaping the prison. Yeah.
Fifth one, he's jumping out of the plane and then it starts. And then sixth one, he's got some guy in hospital or something and then he like injects him. I think that's what happens in the sixth
one. I can't remember. Yeah.
Yeah. And then this one, it's he escapes as the this dude.
Yeah.
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 With the mask on. So and the sequence actually comes like 20 minutes into the movie.
Yeah, it's a pretty long
out of all look, the
it could have been like 10 minutes shorter.
I think it was pretty well played. Maybe in the middle there was a bit that could have been quicker, but I think it was reasonably well.
Overall, I was pretty... Once the action gets going, and they're pretty like long action sequences as well, so they keep you entertained enough.
Out of all the long movies that we've seen this year, I think this feels shorter than most of them. Like John Wick was long, but I was also very tired in that movie. What did we watch last? Like Indiana Jones, that felt long.
It was long.
It's shorter than... Like it's actually shorter than this, but it felt longer than this. So most of the movies that we've seen this year definitely could have been shorter than they were. But this, I think it was fair enough.
Yeah.
For the length. What else?
I really like the theme music for Mission Impossible. I think it's like top 10 theme music. Because it's very, you can do it like how they do it normally, but then you can like change it as well to make it like suit the situation. Like they could do like little bells like when they're like thinking.
Or you can have it like little, yeah.
You could have it like soft. You could have it with strings.
You could use it like thinking music, like when they're like trying to figure out stuff.
Yeah. And then you could have it like as action music when they're, when it's like big action.
Yeah.
It's very versatile theme music. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess like maybe the James Bond theme is similar to that.
It's probably like one of the most iconic. If you play it, people know what it is.
Most people know what it is. Yeah. Yeah, definitely. Like, I think it's definitely up there with like probably James Bond in this.
Mm.
What other themes are there? Like Star Wars?
Yeah. But even that, like, I would.
I think most people know Star Wars.
Yeah. Most people know like the Darth Vader music.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the starting music for Star Wars.
Yeah.
I don't think there's many others that are as
iconic as this. Yeah.
Once
there's stuff that's good, but this is like
Once upon a time, maybe like Indiana Jones,
or like Superman.
Yeah.
Or the old Batman music, but
Avengers is pretty.
I don't know. Like some people don't know that.
It's a more recent one. So I guess people. The Lord of the Rings music, sometimes it's Harry Potter music can be as well. But I think this is
more versatile. Like you could use it in any situation. Yeah.
Yeah. I think this is more versatile.
You can play it on different instruments as well and it works. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I remember back when we had like the Nokia smartphones, you could get the Mission Impossible theme as a ringtone. Mm. And there was a program within the Nokia phone where you could make your own ringtones. You'd have to put in the notes, and someone figured out the notes for Mission Impossible, and we all like put it into our phones and we had it as our ringtone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now no one has ringtones, so.
No, everyone's phone's just on silent. Yeah. Other than some maniacs that don't have it on silent.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. What else? Pom Clementiff's character.
Yeah.
So what I was going to say.
She has that turn at the end where she turns good. Yeah.
She turns good. Yeah. And she's probably still alive. My guess is
possibly,
that she's probably going to be in the next one because the guy says she still has a pulse.
Mm.
So I think she might be in the
next one. I'm hoping Jeremy Renner comes back.
Yeah. So I was going to bring up all the characters from the previous movies and who might actually come back.
Mm.
Jeremy Renner.
Possibly, but I know he's also taking some time off acting because he had like a horrific accident.
Yeah, a car accident or something.
It was like a snow patrol accident or something.
I think he's back now though.
I don't think he's acting yet, but like he's
walking.
Yeah, he's walking and stuff. Yeah. But they're probably not going to be filming this for like at least another year or so anyway. So I think he would be cool to come back. Yeah.
Yeah. Anyone else?
That's probably it, isn't it?
Who was in the fifth one? It was just...
It was Rebecca Ferguson.
Yeah.
She dies in this.
She dies in this. So
yeah.
Unless she's somehow magically going to come back, but she looked pretty dead.
Yeah. Michelle Monaghan could come back.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There was someone in two? I can't remember.
Oh, yeah, there is. It's Tandy Newton.
Yeah.
Yeah. Does she die?
I can't remember.
I don't know. I can't remember.
I don't think she dies, but...
She's like in cahoots with the villain for part of it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And then Paula Patton, I guess, from...
Yeah.
She's only in that one.
She's only in that one. Yeah. Yeah.
No, that's a different movie. I was thinking that she has a fight with... Ronda Rousey, but that's
Michelle Rodriguez.
That's in Fast and Furious. She does fight someone though in a skyscraper in that movie at some stage.
Yeah, in the Burj Khalifa, I think. Yeah, she kicks them out the window.
Yeah,
it's a guy.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah,
yeah.
Because in Fast 7, Michelle Rodriguez fights
Ronda Rousey in the Burj Khalifa.
Yeah,
another tower.
I think it was in Abu Dhabi or something.
Yeah.
There is like a lot of similarities.
There's parallels definitely there. Yeah.
Between these two franchises.
I don't know why, but this is just better than that. They do everything for real in this. That's whereas everything is fake in that. Yeah.
I think that's what separates the, because Tom Cruise does most of his own stunts. So
if Tom Cruise wasn't in this, it probably wouldn't be as good.
Yeah.
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 And if they did do the stunts for real, it probably wouldn't be as good.
Yeah.
Like the exact same movie. It just, if it was CGI, it just wouldn't be as good.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely. I think that's it, really. I don't think there's much that we've missed, but yeah, part two, I think it's actually scheduled to come out next year.
Oh, have they already started filming it?
Yeah, but yeah.
But most likely it's probably not going to come out next year.
Next year. Also, across the, what's it called? Beyond the Spider-Verse.
Probably not next year.
Yeah, so it was already in trouble because they hadn't done most of the visual effects. And they were trying to hit like March next year.
And then stuff came out afterwards about like
how they were like underpaying or
underpaying stuff and everything.
Because I think I brought it up in our review that the $100 million budget seemed a bit low. And then it turns out it was probably low because they
underpaying everyone. Yeah. It seems like a big problem with animators in every industry is essentially.
Yeah.
Yeah. They'll probably go on strike soon as well, rightfully, because they're they've
Well, I think they probably have more grounds to do it because you can actually get AI to do animation now.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It'll probably not be good though. Like the Secret Invasion opening credits.
Opening credits.
Yeah.
I guess that was like a stylistic thing that they went for. But
AI can only generate stuff based off what you put in.
Yeah. So you gotta ask for something and then
So
And it's also like gotta have
You have to pay someone who has the original content then.
Yeah, and you also have to feed it like
you have to feed it something and then it can do that.
It's got to have data to be able to predict. Yep. So it's got to have historical data to be able to predict what.
So if you want to do the Spider-Verse movie, then you have to input the previous two Spider-Verse movies and then say make a scene that looks like this using that data. It probably could do that.
Probably could.
But then you'd still have to pay the animators anyway.
Yeah.
Well, I assume you would. Maybe they will try to do it without it, but
So, yeah, that Spider-Verse is going to be delayed for sure.
Yeah, I don't think there's not going to be a lot of movies coming out next year.
What are we going to...
Or there's going to be shit movies.
What are we going to be reviewing next year?
I think Deadpool 3 might come out next year, but that's... Yeah.
Yeah.
And anything that's already been shot.
Made, Yeah, potentially.
Kraven the Hunter might be the last movie.
This is not just... what a movie to end on. This is not just movies. It's also TV shows too, so it's...
Yeah.
It's going to affect everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Stranger Things 5 is apparently pushed to like 2027.
Really? That's like really far out.
Yeah.
They're going to be old by then. They're going to be like middle-aged adults, aren't they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we'll see what happens with all of that. But yeah, Mission Impossible. While you can still watch good movies, go watch it at the cinema. While you can watch it in IMAX, which is just 1 week. I think it might be worth watching an IMAX if it's if you have an IMAX near you. Also, so next week we're going to be reviewing anything else on Mission Impossible. We'll talk about next week. So next week we're going to be reviewing Oppenheimer and Barbie. So Oppenheimer, it's shot fully in IMAX. So there's this thing around like certain or most theaters won't be able to display the image in its full scale because it's going to cut off some of the top and the bottom due to the aspect ratio that Christopher Nolan filmed it in.
Is it just me or is it a bit pretentious though? It's like, oh, we're going to miss out on 2 millimeters of the screen at the top half.
I don't think it matters.
Does it matter
much for this movie or for any movie?
Does it matter for any movie?
Yeah. And I looked up which cinemas in Australia can we watch Oppenheimer in its full aspect ratio.
Just IMAX.
And it's only IMAX Melbourne.
Yeah.
In the whole of, it's actually the whole of the Southern Hemisphere. It's only IMAX Melbourne. So, and IMAX Melbourne sold out for like the first 3 days that it's out. So we're not going to be watching in IMAX Melbourne. And also, I can't justify paying.
Does it make that much of a difference? Like to how big do you think it would be?
I think it cuts off like maybe it won't. Like be much
30 centimeters.
So you know when you watch some movies and you've got the bars on the top and the bottom?
Yeah.
It's essentially that.
Yeah. Yeah. So it would just be the bars that are cut off, which is like 30 centimeters, 40, like,
Well, depends
on the size of the screen. Yeah.
So
will anything interesting be happening in those bars, I guess?
Yeah, I'm not sure. But
I don't know. I guess if you want the full experience, then you probably want to watch it like that.
Yeah. But,
yeah.
So, but yeah, anyway, we're going to be watching it in a normal cinema. So we'll see what it's like. And we'll be watching Barbie after.
I hear Oppenheimer is very good though, which
I hear it's I hear it's very good.
Yeah.
So
I haven't heard much about Barbie yet.
Yeah. I don't think they've had premieres, but I haven't heard anything about it. But yeah, I heard Oppenheimer is very good. So yeah, and Basker will be joining us for a review because we got that little bet happening where one of you has to. I think you're going to do a shot of something, and he's going to eat a sock.
Going to eat a sock. Well, yeah. I feel like Basker will like Oppenheimer better than Barbie anyway, wouldn't he? It's just more down his alley. So what's the like objective way that we can do this?
I think the most objective person in this conversation is probably going to be me because I'm going to be in between you guys. So
what about like the Rotten Tomato score?
You don't trust me. No, I think we were going to look at IMDb, right?
IMDb, yeah.
So maybe we'll look at IMDb.
Yeah.
And we're going to look at audience and critics, right?
Yeah.
So I think critics is going to be Oppenheimer. Audience could be anything.
No, I think audience, to be honest, I think critics will be close. I think audience will be Oppenheimer because people are going to – they'll be like incels. They'll go and trash a Barbie for some reason, they do for a lot of these movies. That's an
interesting theory. Yeah, maybe we'll have to rely on the critics then. But I think critics will
– I think it'll be close, but I think Oppenheimer will
– I think it'll be Oppenheimer, but audience, we'll see. Mm. There's a lot of positive buzz from the audience for Barbie. That's what I've seen anyway.
Greta Gerwig hasn't done a movie under like 90%.
Ever.
I think so. She's only done like two or three movies.
Yeah, we should do a comparison in the when we do the review. Like we should look at Greta Gerwig versus Nolan, like average scores.
She's done way less movies than Nolan. So yeah.
But Nolan has
Nolan's done look, I trashed Tenet, but like I like basically every one of his movies other than Tenet. I think objectively, Barbie might be worse than Oppenheimer.
You're doubting yourself.
But we'll see. We'll see what happens. It
could be amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you were saying Basker's, he's probably.
Yeah, well, I think you'll probably like Oppenheimer better than Barbie as well. I would be interested. Well, we're going to go with like your wife and some of our friends' wives for Barbie, but they're not going to watch Oppenheimer, so. I would say they probably would enjoy Barbie more than Oppenheimer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I said to my wife, we're watching Oppenheimer and Barbie.
Mm.
And she's like, oh, I'll just come to Barbie. And I'm like, do you know what Oppenheimer's about?
Yeah.
And she's like, sounds like some weird movie that you guys watch or like the kind of movie that you guys would watch. Well, I'm like, no, it's about the guy who, created the atomic bomb and the one that they dropped on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, and then she was interested.
Well, that made her more interested.
Yeah.
I think people would probably not want to watch it once you know what it's about because it's like that sounds very depressing.
I think it will be a bit depressing too.
It will. Like how can they make a movie about it and make it happy? Like that would be bad if they did that.
I'm interested to see how he makes it engaging with that
line. There is apparently an element to it, Christopher Nolan.
Yeah, thing so to I can see that as black and white and a color thing happening. So.
Yeah, there's going to be some kind of it's not just going to be a linear story. Yeah,
yeah. Well, it rarely is with Christopher Nolan. I don't think he's made a linear one apart from Insomnia. I think was the only one where it was linear to some extent. So that to look forward to next week, and I think there's a bit of a break after that actually. In terms of movies, we can probably review Secret Invasion, but I don't have.
I've watched 2.5 episodes. Haven't really liked it. Well, it shows because I stopped watching halfway through one of the episodes because I fell asleep.
So I think I've watched, how many episodes have there been so far? Four? I've watched all of them.
Four, I think. Or five. I think there's only six in total.
Yeah, I think it's four. There's a reveal in the fourth episode, but I'm like, whatever.
No, that was at the third episode, the reveal. It's the one I've seen half of. The Don Cheadle reveal? That's at the end of the third one.
Is it third or fourth?
Is it the Don Cheadle reveal?
Yeah.
That's the third one. There's been an episode after the Don Cheadle reveal.
Okay. I thought that was the fourth one, but anyway. Let's see what we have to say about that show, because I don't have that much to say, because it's just so like mediocre. But anyway, we might have more to say in the after the last two episodes. There might be some more reveals, so we'll probably do a review for that. And I think there's Meg 2 at some stage.
Oh yeah, we'll watch that. I kind of like the first one.
Yeah, there is something else in August, but I can't remember. I think Blue Beetle's in August.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Well, looks like we're just waiting for Kraven the Hunter
yes.
to find out why they call him the Rhino. So
there's a bit of a rocky road till the end of the year, to be honest, because there's Nun 2 in like September. There's not that many good movies.
Kraven the Hunter's in October, I think.
Yeah. I think June's in
December, is it?
Or October or November. It's towards the end of the year.
Wonka.
Wonka's at the end of Christmas, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, release. So I think, next week might be the last good sort of release.
We might have some ones that I could put under Flash coming up. So
Yeah. Maybe I'll be interested to see if Blue Beetle's better than the Flash.
Okay, that's a tough one. That could go either. Odds on that one, pretty even. Could go either way. Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. All right. So I guess we can start wrapping it up. So how do people get in touch with us with their thoughts on Mission Impossible?
We're on all platforms at Cognitive Recalibration, or you can email us at cognitiverecalibrationpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, and do put your thoughts in the comments below if you're watching us on YouTube. And if you want to support the podcast in terms of the audio stream, do give us a review on either Spotify or iTunes, because that makes us more discoverable on those search engines. One more thing I was planning to do actually is when we do go to the cinema next week, we should do like, you know, like how people do interviews outside the cinema.
Oh, yeah.
We should do that.
What, you're going to interview random people
just
outside the cinema?
I'll just walk up to them like, what do you think of Barbie?
Yeah.
And they'll be like, I didn't watch it.
Yeah. This is a restaurant.
It's okay. I played with them when I was a child, but not so much now. Like, yeah.
So this is a hospital. I need to leave.
Yeah, we should do like a small segment of what do they call it? Like the audience reactions. Yeah. Cool. So I hope you enjoyed this episode. Next week it's a big episode for us, so we're looking forward to that. Hope you're looking forward to it too. But hope you enjoyed this episode. Hope you're all keeping safe, and we'll see you in the next one.
See ya.
See ya.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Kayla Itzinas.
Kayla Itzinas. I'm Kayla Itzinas, and I have been training a global community of women since 2009. I've created a brand new podcast, Sweat Daily, to help you level up your life and reach your health and well-being goals. From fitness tips to food that fuels you, meditation to motivation, we've got you covered. Sweat Daily, the happiest, healthiest, and most confident version of you awaits. Available on Apple Podcasts and wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.